Ah, the listeners of this radio station are the best. People know Nebraska Ball Mike.
Yeah.
Usually we see, especially in the last 13, 14 months, we check in on Nebraska Ball Mike to make sure he's doing okay physically. He called George to check to see, with all the Aaron Rodgers stuff going on, if George was doing okay.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Mike.
And just like Aaron Rodgers said at the Derby on Saturday, George is heartbroken that it got out.
Yep.
We've all been wronged in our life, but have you ever been as petty as this appears to be?
Mm-mm.
Been wronged so bad that you are triggered like this. Mm-mm. I'll save this discussion for a little bit later. I'll let you warm up to what we're going to talk about, Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
I will pose a question, because we have plenty of Packer fans that listen to the show. A lack of an owner, do you think, hurts here? You have a CEO, you don't have an owner that maybe could have stepped in before we got to this point.
That's a good question, and I think you've got something there.
Mark Murphy, who is the CEO, mm-hmm. is very much aware that he has a disgruntled quarterback and is making attempts to answer questions, soothe anything, salvage anything. But I wonder if you had a strong-armed owner, if they would step in and say, enough is enough. First of all, let's get this out of the public, let's get it behind closed doors, and let's see what we can do.
Yes.
Because Matt LaFleur, everything, the Packers had a good draft, but everything is about number 12.
Yeah.
And every time Matt LaFleur was interviewed this weekend, hey, tell me about this draft that your GM, who number 12 wants out, your GM actually had a really good draft. What are you thinking? And he would say, I can't fathom Aaron Rodgers not being in Green Bay.
Yep.
What happened, we all know, their handoff from one quarterback to another got really, really murky because Aaron Rodgers had an MVP season in 2020.
Yeah.
If he would have had a bad season and, bad for Aaron Rodgers' standards,
yeah.
then the transition starts to make more sense.
If he had 2019 season in 2020,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
then we're...
But he had an MVP season, yeah. and it screwed up your 21-22. But as we were talking in the crossover, I don't know, Jordan Love, I was still shocked by that pick. He's got no shot in Green Bay. He may turn out to be a competent NFL quarterback,
yeah.
but in that town, he's got no shot.
None.
He's like the stepchild. I like stepchilds. I'll hug him. I know him.
Mm.
But that would be the stepchild that nobody wants in Green Bay. Well, they would send him down to the agency to process him out of Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yeah. And it's nothing that he did.
Nope. It was something the organization did that I noticed. Boy, Tampa was quick to tell you this weekend that when they got ready to select Kyle Trask, mm-hmm. they called Tom Brady to say, we are drafting a quarterback. I don't think any NFL team should consult with the quarterback on who they should pick. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs consult with Mahomes, but if Mahomes said, hey, you guys got to pick that, they'll say, thanks for your input. We value your input, but players play, coaches coach, general managers scouts, they do that business side.
Yeah.
But we would like your input. I think that's what teams should do. Hey, what are you thinking? Okay, I appreciate the input. This is how we're thinking. This is where we're leaning. But when it comes to you've got a storied quarterback that has won a Super Bowl and now in Tampa and Green Bay, it is worthy of respect for a phone call. Just want you to know we're getting set to draft a quarterback before it is public. And maybe they did, and that hasn't come out because they had the same agent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is probably last year was the start of something that has been lingering for a while.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the draft of 2020. It's something that has been around for a while.
Right.
And we'll see what the exit looks like. What does 21 look like? What does 22 look like? It's why the NFL is the most popular sport, because this storyline will continue until there is a resolution. And if there will be a resolution. All right, Mike Schaefer is coming up here in just a little bit. This weekend in Lincoln, spring game. The format, remember, the most important practice that a team has during camp is that big scrimmage before the spring game. Most coaches look at the spring game as just a showcase for the fans and the recruits. Let players play before fans, see what the reaction is like. But they've got all the information they need in 14 games. And in this case, Nebraska decided to go with a no-tackling first half. Wasn't a big fan. I get it. Wasn't a big fan because I would have wanted to see some certain plays and how they would have worked if you knew that you were going to get hit. I mean, there was a play where Martinez left Torre out to dry that he would have been nearly decapitated. So that was good. You know, DB had a pull up at the last moment. I liked the second half. That was more football. But I don't think this is an indication of what Nebraska did this spring. We know that it was a physical spring. I think this will be a trend that will continue to limit tackling, not just in Nebraska, but around the country. Not everybody is going full bowl on spring. And I think especially if your spring is ending May 1, what happens if you lose somebody in that game? Is there enough time for them to come back and play? But Nebraska's got all the information they need on their football team on if they're physical enough. But what happened over the weekend? And I've been saying, and we'll continue to say this, as Nebraska will roll through the month of June, all of the messaging is about Cruton. Hey, they love the fans, and there is no doubt that fans in the stands and fans outside of the stadium was a step in the right direction. And it felt great. It felt great to be amongst fans. I mean, people had smiles on their faces. They were having a good time. It's like, man, where have you been? It was the second shot in the arm for some of us, was to see fans in the stands. I'm not joking. If you were in the rail yard on Saturday, I mean, it was wall to wall. You would have thought Buffalo was in town on 9/11 to play a football game. Not much social distancing. Of course, hardly anybody was in a mask. I think the security people were and the people that were working the bars. But it felt like a normal game day. Fans were back. The smells, the sights. It felt really, really good. And you saw the impact that fans have on this program. I mean, fans mean so much to Nebraska football. Now they realize it even more because they use you and you use them. We're going to find out when Schaefer joins us here in a little bit what the impact of recruits are. But you started the weekend by breaking ground on a $155 million football facility. $155 million football facility to attract recruits, take care of the people that are already in the program. This facility will make it very, very easy to play football in Nebraska. It'll essentially be like you're in an NFL facility where everything is right there inside the building, and then you walk outside of the building and you're walking onto your practice field. It's going to be like an NFL facility where it's all encompassing. And that's important these days because they preach football, 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 eat football, drink football, breathe football. So they have a groundbreaking ceremony. Shovels are in the dirt. The ceremonial first shovel in the dirt, wearing a construction helmet, and then you throw the dirt aside, and away we go. And when you come back to the stadium in September, probably September 4th for the first game, you're going to start to see things coming out of the ground. All right? That is hope. When there was the transition from Mike Riley to Scott Frost, they sold you hype. Hey, look what happened in Central Florida. Scott's home. He's bringing the staff. Here we go. Sold you hype the first year. Sold you hype the second year, because remember, for one of the rare times in 3 years, when Nebraska finished the 18 season, they had some momentum going. Ooh, feel a lot better. Horrible start, better finish. Selling you hype for 19. Selling you hype, selling you hype, selling you hype. Then the month of September hit, and he went, ooh. What are we going to sell? Still selling some hype, then making the transition where it's the odd transition in selling a program from hype to hope. And they're selling you a lot of hope right now. They want you to be hopeful for the future. They're showing you what the future looks like. But instead of hype, it's, I want facts. Okay, we're going to sell you hope. If you had your choice, George, would you rather hear about the labor pains of a woman, or do you want to see the baby?
I want to see the baby.
Okay, this is where we are. We're over the labor pains. We don't want to hear you bitching and complaining and a moaning. We want to see the baby. That's where we are. But they're selling you hope. That's the current plan. Hope of the future with a facility. Hope what's on the field. And they're hoping that you saw enough on Saturday, or you know enough, and you're a smart football person, that you're hopeful for what this year could bring. When the season began, I said 6-6. When Saturday came, and I wanted to see things up close, 2 weeks ago, got to be closer to the field. Okay, got to hear things, see things, watch part of the game on Saturday from the field. Still feel like a 6-6 team. More depth, more intrigue, but I gotta see the baby. I don't want to hear about the labor pains anymore. I don't want to hear them. Okay, I'm over moaning. I want to get the real goods. I want the baby. But they're selling you hope with patience, but your patience is probably wearing out. So are you buying hope? Are you buying what they're selling? And if you are, what has led you to that? Because I think you're going to be in a minority. I think now it's 115 days to things get real and we can have real discussions. Unfortunately, we got to talk about things between now and 115 days from now. So they're selling you hope. Are you buying hope? Hope as an entire program, or hope in spots where you were suspect and now you're like, okay, didn't have depth there, built depth. Got some dudes, got some fellas. They're selling you hope. They're hoping that you'll buy that hope. Or, as the movie, which was very popular, hope floats. It's the weird coming up into year four. What they showed you, what they have, and what you believe, all part of the discussion, which we will have ad nauseum for the next 115 days, even on Saturdays and Sunday. But can you sell hope with a little side dish of urgency? I think so, and I sense that. I'll tell you why a little bit later. All right, I promise that I will quit moaning on the air. People wondering if there's something wrong. I got something wrong with me, it pains. Don't want the labor pains, we want the baby.
Yep.
Yeah, we want to see the baby. Okay? Even if it's your first child, right? Okay, I just want to see the kid. Give me the kid. Let's go. Here we go. I'm ready there. I'm ready for them. I got the catcher's mitt on. All right, Mike Schaefer joins us next. It's the Gary Sharp Show with George from the Grunwald Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing Zone Studio on a Monday, the 3rd of May. We'll be live from Warner Park on Wednesday in 1620 The Zone.